Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to read verses 42 through 45 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 45. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for what you've been to us, what you've done for us, what you've done through us. And again tonight, I stand before your people. Lord, all I would like to do is be a blessing to them. I'd like to help them. I'd like to somehow be an encouragement to them. I'd like to somehow be a blessing to them. Father, I pray that you'd just use tonight's service in a special way, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to read one other verse to you in reference to tonight's sermon. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, tonight I want to preach a sermon called Reaping What You Didn't Know You Have Sown. Reaping What You Did Not Know You Have Sown. We know about the laws of sowing and reaping here on earth. If you plant corn, you don't get taters. You say, that's ridiculous, Brother Bush. You're right, you get corn. Here, what we sow, we reap more of the same type of what we sow. That means if you plant green beans, you don't get blueberries. If you do, you got ripped off. If you plant blueberries, you don't get pumpkins. You see, you get exactly what you sow here on earth. Now, I'm going to need your minds for a moment. For some of you, that might be very difficult. But I need you thinking with me, because I'm going to use some biblical logic with you to get you to a point to see something that you have read in Scripture tonight and have never looked at it this way. We as Christians need to view life more like God does. So many times we look at life through our eyes that we think that God looks at things the way we look at things. And that is not true. Now, we can learn much about God through nature. Trust me. And I am for those things. And by the way, there are spiritual things to learn from nature. But let me say this, and this is where it's going to be a little twist in your thinking. Nature has been cursed by God. If you go to Genesis chapter 3, we'll not take time to turn there, but God cursed the earth and nature. The ground began bringing forth weeds and thistles. The atmosphere changed. And we could go down the line on how that nature itself was cursed by God. Nature is not perfect. It is not the way God originally made it for man. Everybody doing okay so far? I'm not preaching heresy. This is why we need to be careful about this let's worship nature garbage out there today. I use the term, you know, the green people, not Martians either. You know, go green, go green. You know, I always laugh about, you can't use plastic. If you use plastic, we'll fill up the landfills with plastic and it'll never decompose. Let me ask you a question. Where did they get the plastic to start with? It came from the ground. It's no different. Don't worry, the world's not going to become plastic because we use the plastic that came out of the ground. Everybody doing okay? Nature is a bad God because nature is cursed by sin. Did you get that? Nature is a bad God because nature is cursed by sin. Now, some of you might get mad at me. That's okay. I'm for living as healthily as we can. Trust me. And I think we have done ourselves a disservice in the world by some of the things that we pump into our food and things. And I agree with you on that. But what some of you think is healthy is cursed by sin. What some of you call natural that's healthy is as cursed as anything else you put in your mouth. Wonder how many herbal supplements are out there made out of weeds and thistle that you take thinking you're healthy, and those are a result of the curse of man and curse of sin. I'm not saying it's wrong to take those, just so you know. By the way, you're not going to stop me from eating meat either. God said, rise, kill and eat, not rise, pick and eat. Now, wait a minute. We have people in government addicted to nature to the point where nature has become a god. Can I tell you how we could have avoided most of the forest fires that took place in Northern California and Yosemite? If the American government would let people go in and clean out the forest of all the dead trees and things, you're not allowed to take or cut anything out of a state-owned or a federally owned forest. So what happens is all those trees that get knocked over, that lay there, they become tinder. It's like drying out wood waiting for a spark, and all of a sudden you have an inferno, and then you burn up an area twice the size of D.C. because they won't let you go in there and clean it out. Why is it that you go to Great Britain and never have a forest fire like that? Because they go in and clean them out. You go to Europe, what happens? They go in and they clean them out. America says, no, it has to stay in its natural state. Yeah, and then God has to take care of it. If man would do his job and have dominion over it, not let nature have dominion, it would not break down. Everybody doing okay? Did you see the news articles this week? Did you wonder why Al Gore cashed in on $750 billion this last summer? Because right now there are 1.3 million square miles more of ice in the Arctic right now than have been in the last half century. The climatologist came out and said 114 of the 117 points of global warming were overstated, and we're going into a 15-year minimum global cooling time. He made his money and got out just in time. We have Earth Day. Why not have God Day? Spiritual sowing and reaping is often different than physical sowing and reaping. Everybody doing okay? Now listen to me. Sometimes we don't realize the depth of sowing and reaping. What I mean to say is this: we cannot and we should not limit God by nature that is cursed. Did you get that? God has laws of nature that we don't know about and we don't think about because the nature we have is cursed by sin. Let me show you what I mean. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look in your Bible again. The Bible says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. Hold it, that's backwards from what we're used to. We think if we sow in corruption, we're going to reap corruption. That's man's physical laws and God and a cursed law of nature. Did you see it? Let's read it again. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. That means we think we ought to get more dishonor back, right? No. It is raised in glory. That's opposite. It is it is sown in weakness and raised in power. Now, these are God's laws. Everybody look at me for a second here. That's what God said. But God also said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Hang on. I have four statements to make to you tonight, but don't put your shoes on yet. Number one, the resurrection and the rapture gives us unusual reaping. The Bible's talking here about the rapture and the resurrection of the dead. And God says, those that die, they are sown in corruption. But guess what? When their body is raised up, it will be raised up in incorruption. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Every one of your loved ones that was saved, that you have planted in this earth, guess what? They were sown in corruption. Their body was dying. It was decaying. Their life had gone out. The body immediately begins to go into a process of decay. Now, it goes into a process of decay from the moment it takes its first breath. We measure life. We ought to be measuring, and say it more appropriately, you're measuring death. Your life is a process of death. And as you die, in the moment you leave this body behind, it is sown in corruption. But guess what? It will one day be resurrected incorruptible, never to die again. That's what the Bible says here. It says it's sown in death, in sin, but raised in sinlessness. We die in dishonor, but we will be raised in honor. You say, what do you mean? You die in dishonor. Because all of us are sinners. It's proof we're a sinner. We're going to die. As it is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Watch this. We die in weakness, but we're raised in power. Folks, I don't care how strong you younger men think you're tough as a nail. Guess what? One of these days, you're not as tough as you think you are. And when you face death, you're not near as tough. You're not near as tough. Now, I know we have brave men. We have strong men here, and I appreciate that. I was kind of laughing yesterday. I had my bow out, and a couple of men had never pulled a bow before, and it's a different set of muscle structures and everything else, and the first time you pull one, usually you don't do real well. I had to help a couple of our guys get my bow pulled back. You say, oh, were they weak? No, they had never done it before. Once they got it back and figured that thing out, it goes a little easier. But guess what? Doesn't matter whether it's 70-pound pull, 60-pound pull, 50-pound pull. It doesn't matter. Can I tell you something? We're all weak. We're all going to die. Brother Rogers and I went and saw a fella that's in a nursing home here just down the road yesterday that he knows. Brother Mark won him to the Lord in the last week or so. Here's a man that's in his 80s that 5 weeks ago was running around. His wife's in there with Alzheimer's. He was walking around with cane doing well. And the next day he's in a room down the hall from her, unable to even hardly talk. And they don't know what happened. You say, why? Because as we get old, we get weak. Some of you that are in your senior years, you know what I'm talking about. From here up, you can do it. Past that, you don't want to think about it anymore. What you used to do, you know, I'm to the point in life where I'm starting to look at things thinking, is that really worth it? Is the pain worth it? All day yesterday morning, while I'm thinking about trying to get in that stupid office, I'm thinking, if I drop down out of that ceiling, how bad am I going to hurt myself? Black marks down the wall from hanging on, you know, coming down. You think I'm kidding? They're in there, aren't they? It was great. But the whole time I'm thinking, man, I got to drop out of this ceiling. That's a long way down. There was a time I'd have jumped off that thing and never even thought twice about it. That's why I hurt now and don't want to do it anymore. You see, you die in a natural body, but you will be resurrected in a spiritual body. By the way, that's opposite of our thinking of sowing and reaping. But that's only for the spiritual. A lost person that dies goes through the process of a sin-cursed natural sowing and reaping. Because they die in corruption and go to eternal punishment, and corruption. A lost person leaves this earth with the best they had and go to a burning hell and suffer eternal death. That is the law of sowing and reaping, you know. But guess what? When God steps in, he changes it all. That loved one that just passed away or is about to pass away, guess what? If they're saved, they take their last breath here, they're sucking heavenly air up there the next moment, and they will be raised in incorruption. I've seen all kinds of things happen in hospitals, and I've watched people die of horrible diseases and cancers and you name it. I knew a man that passed away. His liver had shut down. His kidneys had stopped. His skin was darker than my suit. I mean, it just turns almost a, I hate using the term, but it's almost an avocado green. I mean, it's just, it's nasty. I watched that man take his last breath, and I'm not kidding, within 60 seconds, his skin started turning back to a white color. It just starts changing color before your eyes. Say, what is that? The process of death. Things quit pumping, the poisons quit pumping through the system, so things go back to the way it was. And it's almost immediate. You say, that's weird. That's the way our bodies are made. But guess what? When he gets resurrected, he's in a resurrected body. He's fine. Number two, turn your Bible to Psalm 126. The Bible says in Psalm 126, verse number 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in grief. They that sow in tears shall reap in more tears. No, the Bible says they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing sheaves with him. Wait a minute. Natural law says you sow tears, you get more tears. God says you sow tears, you reap joy. That doesn't sound natural, does it? Because it's not, it's spiritual. A sin-cursed world, they reap now with joy and sow tears because of the joy they reap. They go out, have fun, drinking alcohol, and get drunk, and wake up in tears because of the fun they had. They go out and break into something and steal something. I didn't steal something. It was my office that I broke into. But they'll go out and rob a bank or hold somebody up or steal something, take something that's not there. Boy, I got more respect for a pimp than I do that. They'll go out and have fun now, and then they reap sorrow because of the fun they had. God says, if a spiritual person will labor and sow in tears, you will reap joy because of the tears you sowed with. That's backwards from what we think. Now listen to this statement. Going through the pain of adversity allows us to enjoy the victory, the peace, and the times of no adversity. You must sow those tears of agony and sorrow to gain the benefit and reap the joy that follows. Every lady in here that's had a baby knows what I'm talking about. You sowed something in the jaws of death that no man in the world would ever go through. Ain't no way. Amen? Say why? To me, the craziest thing isn't that a woman would have a baby, it's that she would have more than one because she knows what's coming the next time. Oh, it's so wonderful. I'm thinking, That doesn't make sense to a male brain, just so you know. Say why? Why would you put yourself through all that pain, all that agony, and then call it joy? Now, you didn't look real joyous as it was taking place, just so you know. There was a lot of agony and a lot of tears and a lot of screaming and a lot of blood that you drew from his arm as you went to put those claws in there, amen? And then you say, oh, that was so worth it. And I'm thinking, You see, without the adversity, without the pain, without the agony, without the tears, there was no blessing of that child. I'll tell this story some of you that went to the college where I was and were at that church, you'll understand this maybe a little better. I walked into a Bible college of 2,200 students, and I didn't know anybody. I mean, I didn't know anybody. I had even never been to the college before. I just left home, got on Route 30, and drove from Route 30 at my house to Route 30 that turned into Burr Street in Crown Point, Indiana. I showed up. They said, oh, you need to go to a place called Baptist City. I said, I thought I was here at the college. They said, that's about 4 miles down the road. Since you have a car, you can go out there. I said, okay, how do I get there? I don't even know where it's at. They gave me a map. I couldn't even hardly find my car. Man, there was more people on the campus of that college than I'd ever even seen in my life, just about. I thought, okay. Then I happened to find somebody. They said, hey, where are you going? I said, I'm supposed to go to a place called Baptist City. They said, you new here? I said, hey, yeah. They said, follow me. Thank God somebody was going out there. I followed them. I got out there. I'm driving by. They said, they stopped when we got there. They said, which dorm? I said, it says Martha Hartman 4. They said, oh, let me take you there. I said, good. Man, there were so many buildings out there. I mean, there was a grade school. There was an auditorium that sat probably 800 people. There was a gymnasium. There was another junior high school. There was another gymnasium. And then there was the high school. Then there were all the dorm buildings. I'm thinking, Lord have mercy, what's all this stuff? They finally pointed to the door and kept on going. I backed my car up, unloaded everything I had, walked into a room and said, howdy y'all, where am I at? I got a room, no lie. My room was half the size of this platform. That was mine. Man, I went from my house to this. You could see the concrete through the carpet. This is good carpet compared to what we had in the dorm. I'm not kidding, am I, Brother Hawkins? I'm thinking, okay, Mom and Dad come. She ain't coming in my room. Ain't no way. Dad'll be okay. Mom's not going to do so well with this. I got in. Then I went to church on that Wednesday night. I walked into a church auditorium that sat 7,000 people. And this place is jam-packed. I had never seen that many people together for anything other than a professional sports event. I sat in a room full of 7,000 people by myself, not knowing one other human being in the world, thinking, what in God's name am I doing here? I do not belong here. The first Sunday morning, we had 24, 25,000 people in church. We had more people in church than live in Martinsburg. It would be like all of Kearneysville and all of Martinsburg going to one building for one church service. That's what we had. And probably all of Inwood. I said, man, I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to stay. If you've ever been to the south side of Chicago, it's not the most scenic place in the world. Northwest Indiana, Hammond is right next to a place called Gary, Indiana. That is the armpit of the world. Okay? I'm not kidding, am I? It's old, nasty, broken-down steel mill. Cleveland was better than this place. And that's saying something, because I know how bad Cleveland is. I thought, what am I doing here? Well, I'm here. I already paid money. I got to get a job. I got to get through this. I'll be honest with you, the first couple weeks, I really didn't feel like staying there. My mom, my dad, my wife will tell you this. When we left, I cried because I had to leave. I sowed in tears, I reaped in joy. 5 years later, I really didn't want to leave. Say why? I invested in it. A lot of blood, sweat, tears, and a ton of money. Now, wait a minute. The lost reap now and have tears later. All sunshine makes a desert. Some of you think because you face adversity and have those tears that God's not listening. Do you remember the story of Job? I'm going to preach a sermon on this one day. I'm going to preach the truth to you right now. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do you realize that doesn't come to chapter 17? He didn't say that when he lost all his kids. He didn't say that when he lost his businesses. He didn't say that when he lost his health. He didn't say that when his wife turned on him. He didn't say that after his friend. It wasn't until he got through all that that he said that. He didn't say it while it was going on, just so you know. It took a while. Say why? He was sowing in tears. Then he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then it all turned around. God knows you would need adversity to stay humble. Did you hear that? Do you know how arrogant man is? Did you ever see a lost person, how arrogant they are? All puffed up with themselves? You know, every once in a while, God allows that adversity to show you, you need God. You need pain to keep your pride at bay. God knows we need heartache so that we'll be sensitive. You all know what I'm talking about. Some of you that never get sick, and you don't understand somebody that really is sick till the first time you get sick or get hurt, then all of a sudden you say, maybe I shouldn't have been so hard on people. If you've never had back troubles, you don't understand. I can watch somebody. I watched Erica walk through the door here a few weeks ago. I said, you hurt your back? She said, mm-hmm. She hadn't taken five steps in front of me. Say why? I know that walk. I know that pain. I know when I've had it enough. You know, when all the air gets sucked out of your lungs and you're wondering if I'm going to breathe again because it hurts so bad. It's like, you know, there's only one pain worse. That's a kidney stone. Faith cannot grow until it faces adversity of need. Faith does not become strong till it takes an adversity to make it stronger. So the law of sowing and reaping, you sow in tears, you reap in joy. Nature today would say, you sow in tears, you reap more tears and more grief. You sow in tears, you'll reap in joy. Hey, that loved one that you had to tell goodbye to, you'll sow in tears now, but guess what? You're going to reap in joy when we get there with them. Miss Arlene, when you see your daddy again, and you throw your arms around him and say, I love you, daddy, you're going to reap in joy. You sow in tears now, but we get to reap in joy later. Let's go to the next one. You ready? The fruit of the right. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11. I'm going to say something here that might hair lip a few fundamental friends of mine, but I don't care. If they'll read their Bible, they'll find out it's right. Not me, it is. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Everybody look at me for a moment. The fruit of the righteous is a living tree of life. It doesn't say it's other Christians. If you notice, there's a semicolon there. That's breaking two separate sentences. It does not say that the fruit of the righteous is winning souls. It says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. The Bible says we Christians are to be a tree of life. What is a tree of life? I'll show you in a moment. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Now watch this. Which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now look at me. The tree of life is a tree that has 12 different fruit on it. I do not know if it bears fruit, one different fruit every month, or all 12 fruit, 12 months a year. I personally feel, and you can disagree with me on this, we're not separating over major doctrine here. I personally feel that God has that tree bearing all 12 fruit at the same time, 12 months a year, which means it's constantly bearing fruit. That's why he said, and he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of a Christian is not another Christian. The fruit of a Christian is bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness, Galatians chapter 5, sorry. The fruit of the Spirit is what gives the Christian the tree of life. Everybody with me? Okay, hang in here. I am for soul winning. If you noticed, virtually every service for the last 1 year, the first announcement made is about soul winning. Say why? Because that's every Christian's obligation. It is not a fruit. It is not the fruit of the Spirit. If you'll live the fruit of the Spirit, and if you will do what the fruit of the Spirit, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Say, what is the fruit of the Christian? The fruit of the Christian is the fruit of the Spirit. As you gain the fruit of the Spirit, you will win more people because of the fruit of the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no law of nature in heaven or earth against that fruit. And the fruit of the righteous, a saved person, is a tree of life. It bears spiritual fruit. What is the spiritual fruit? The Holy Spirit of God in you, which is love, joy, peace. You ready? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You having those fruit in you is the fruit of the righteous. A loving person is going to win more souls than a old grumpy old goat. A person who has joy will win somebody better than somebody that has no joy. A person who is gentle will win more people than somebody who is a rough, mean old cob. A person who has peace will win more people than somebody that is a battler. Not a babbler. A person who can endure suffering over a long period of time. You take a Jeff Pop. Took me 3.5 years to win that man to Christ. That's called long suffering. But we want him, amen? Say, what was that? Long suffering. Somebody that can endure long to win somebody is going to win more people than the person who just, all right, here we go. All right, I'm done. I did my thing. Meekness. Somebody that's consistent, strong. Somebody that has goodness or faith or temperance. All those things will give you more people saved. But more people saved is not the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit inside you to live that in front of others 12 months a year, 365 and a quarter days a year. That is the fruit of the righteous. Boy, that's good stuff. If you get the fruit of the Spirit in you, you can't help but win souls. I know people, listen to this statement, say, that's not possible. I know people who were lost that were winning people to Christ. I know people who were as backslidden as Job's turkey that were winning people to Christ. Everybody with me? Do you know that I believe God can bless the gospel through the lips of a lost person to see somebody get saved? I was out soul winning one day. My soul winning partner had two or three people saved that day. I was at the door winning somebody to Christ. As I was winning another person to Christ, I looked at my partner, said, "You know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, don't you?" Tears running down this young man's face, a college student at Bible college. He said, "No. Brother Bush, no, I don't." Now, wait a minute, I got a lost person at the door. My soul winning partner, who'd already seen people saved, stand there, tears running down his face. He said, "For the first time, this makes sense. No, I need to get saved. I want them both to the Lord at the same time." Wait a minute, I watched that young man win two people to Christ that day. He wasn't saved. Guess what? A lost person can have people saved. Everybody doing okay? That must mean that it doesn't matter. Now, it does. Don't take this the wrong way. But in the law of sowing and reaping, a righteous person is going to see people saved and more people saved than somebody who is not spiritual. But guess what? That's not the fruit of the righteous. The fruit of the righteous is being a tree of life. What is that tree of life? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness, goodness. Next. I have to hurry. Number four. Trees reaping takes years to develop. For trees to reap fruit takes years to develop. If you plant an apple tree that's that tall this year, guess what? You're not going to have many apples next year. You might get one or two, but they're only going to be about that big. The next year, you might get a handful. Usually takes 4 to 5 years before you get a fruit tree producing fruit that's adequate to eat. Take your Bible and turn to Leviticus chapter 19. And I will finish with this fairly quickly. I'm going to make a statement. Our church is a growing church. Our church will continue to grow. But our church will take years before we really start hitting where we're supposed to be. Did you catch that? Now, we're well above average, but we still got a ways to go. Let me show you what I mean. Look at Leviticus chapter 19. God is talking to the children of Israel. They're about to go into the promised land. What does he say? Look at verse number 23. "And when ye shall come into the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be uncircumcised unto you, and it shall not be eaten of." Look at me. That term, count as uncircumcised. That means you cut it off and throw it away. It's worthless. God said for 3 years, You are not to keep the fruit of the trees that you planted in when you go into the promised land. He said, just throw it away. It's going to be non-productive for you. It's going to be unhealthy for the tree to eat the fruit of it. Now watch this. Verse 24. "But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord withal." The fourth year, that tree brings forth fruit. You're supposed to cut all the fruit off and give it to God. You're still not eating it. Verse 25. "And in the fifth year, ye shall eat the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God." Those of you that have started businesses, it takes about 5 years till you really see that business grow to where it's productive on a constant basis. I know enough about churches. It takes 4 to 5 years before a church really hits a peak level of performance. Those of you that take a new job on, guess what? after about 4 to 5 years, if you stay there long enough, guess what happens? You start becoming very productive. That's the problem with job hopping. If you can get in somewhere and stay there and hit that thing for 4, 5, 6, 7 years, you'll start increasing at a level that is much faster than hopping from place to place. Now, that doesn't mean just because you just recently changed jobs that you're a bad person and I hate your guts and you shouldn't have done that. Don't take it that way. But what I'm saying is, and I often tell people, look, let's find a place where you can get in, start moving up and stay there a while. Get that longevity built up. You get there about 4 or 5 years and stay in there, you start moving up in the company. Say why? Because nobody else lasts that long. That's just seems to be the way it is. I've watched churches. I tell a guy, look, you go start a church, it's going to take you 4 or 5 years. Hang in there. I tell principals, Christian school principals, it'll take you 5 years before you have your first set of high schoolers that you graduated that are yours. You got to take your eighth graders and concentrate on them. And when your eighth graders become your seniors, that's your first full level of high school that you got through there. You'll be okay. You'll make it. By the way, church work is much the same. It's going to take 4 or 5 years. Well, we've had some people leave. What church hasn't? I know liberal churches have people leave because I get them, amen? Those are our prospects. Can I tell you something? Don't get ahead of us. It's going to be okay. I'm going to make a statement here. Some of the trees don't make it those 5 years. A lot of people don't make it 5 years in one church. Those that do usually last. Did you catch that? If we make it the first 5 years together, guess what? That's going to be the core. You're going to make it. Do we have everything that you're used to? No. But we're going to get it. Maybe if you get off your blessed assurance and help us get it, we'll get it a little faster. I'm not mad. I'm just telling you the truth. All trees don't grow at the same speed. You know that different types of trees grow faster than others? There are some trees that grow fast. There are other trees. Okay, I've got two Bradford pears at my house. I planted those puppies and they were about that tall 10 years ago. Now they're as tall as my house. A Bradford pear grows fast. They also don't last real long because they get dry on the inside and big wind comes by, it'll topple out. Yep, it'll split them in a heartbeat because they grow so fast. Oak trees don't grow real fast. My mom and dad's neighborhood, when they lived in Indianapolis, some developer came in. He was going to cut down this oak tree. It was, what, 110, 120 years old at least? Oh, it was over 200 years old. I mean, it was massive. It took up two full lots. They were going to come cut this thing down. And everybody in town got upset, and they saved the tree. It had limbs on it bigger than most trees. I mean, it was massive. If that thing ever went down, my mom and dad's house was toast because it had gone all the way across the street. I mean, it was just huge. Now, wait a minute. That tree took 200 years to get there. The Bible says that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That term grow means grow like a tree, not grow like a tomato plant. I got some cherry tomato plants in my garden. They're like weeds. I'm not kidding. I can't even hold them up. They're so high. They're just vining all over my fence and stuff. They're so big. They're probably 8 or 9 feet tall. You say, what'd you do? I let them fall over and hang on the fence because there ain't no way I could reach them to pick them if they were all the way up there. Let the stupid things fall over. I'll get them. And there's so many of them. On so many tomatoes, I don't care what eats them. Now I'm about ready to throw the whole thing away. Now, wait a minute. Don't get frustrated at your speed of growth. Just grow. Just grow. Don't get frustrated because so-and-so's not growing as fast as you are. Just grow. Hey, wife, don't get frustrated because your husband's not growing as fast as you think you are. Just grow. He'll catch up. Matter of fact, he'll surpass you. Don't worry. Mike, he's a little harder headed. He's a little thicker skin. Give him time. He'll be okay. Hey, husband, you might be growing faster than she is. Just keep growing, she'll grow. Just keep growing, she'll grow. Well, my kids just aren't getting it. Let them grow. Let them grow. They've got to let it become theirs, not just because it's forced down their throat. The world wants instant success, but the world's success doesn't last very long. Did you catch that? Guess what? Just because you start a business and it doesn't meet the Fortune 500 in the first 5 years doesn't mean you're not a success. Just grow. Just grow. I want you to know God. I'm not worried particularly about what people say about it. I just want you to know your God. I want you to grow. I want you to realize, oh, there is spiritual sowing and reaping that's a little bit different. When you get God's perspective, by the way, if you sow sin, you're going to reap punishment. That is true, because that's not spiritual. But when you do something spiritual, the reaping will be opposite of what you sowed. Sown in incorruption, or sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sow in tears, reap in joy. Y'all doing okay? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. It bears fruit, 12 manner of fruit, all year long. Say, what is that? Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. Against such there is no law. No law of nature against it. Wow. The more you let the Holy Spirit of God grow through you, the more the reaping in areas you didn't know you were reaping. Those tears that you shed with someone because they're hurting, guess what? You'll reap in joy. That person that's hurting and needs your help, the more you sow, God will bless that, and you will reap the benefits of it. Not trying to preach a new truth. I just want to bring a part of that truth out that we never think about. I'll be honest with you. I've been saved a long time. I've been saved over 40 years. I've been preaching over 30 years. I never quite saw this like I have until recently. I got to thinking, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But wait a minute. Sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. That's backwards. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. I'll be honest with you, my head started spinning. I immediately thought of Psalm 126, 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I said, that's backwards. And I personally shared with you tonight a little Bible study I had with myself. And all of a sudden it started making sense. When you start living a spiritual life, you are not bound by the law of a sin-cursed nature. And all of a sudden, we start reaping the way God wants us to reap. Wow. That's big stuff. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to know God. I want you to realize the heartache that you have is for a reason. I want you to realize that the problems you face are for a reason. Oh yeah, we're gonna sow bad things in the flesh. We're gonna reap things in the flesh. Those won't be as good, but if we'll live by the Spirit of God, boy, what we could reap, we have not even seen what we have sown.